It's good to see y'all this morning. It has been a busy, busy weekend. And I tell you, it was such a blessing. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. Though first, I probably need to give you a little bit of information about the upcoming directory that we're doing. We're going to be using, we're working towards getting to a digital format for our church directory. That will be an app you can download to your smartphones. And you're thinking, oh, I don't have a smartphone, and that's fine. We will print it out and have available hard copies as well. But this will be something that we can update without having to re-go through the process of taking pictures and sending it off to be printed and cost and all of that. This will be something free that's entirely free to all the membership and will be a great way to keep up with it. And there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to, information that we're going to ask of you. If you are not comfortable sharing that with us, that's fine. But we're going to be asking for things like birthdays. So we can, you know, you can be notified of whose birthday it is, or anniversaries, your email, your cell phone, so we can have other ways to contact you, your physical address, and there'll be a way where, you know, if I'm wanting to go to Joe Blow's house, and I pull up Joe Blow on my church directory, I can hit the address, and my phone will start giving me directions to Joe Blow's house. If you haven't met Joe Blow yet, he's one of our newest members. Anyway, it's quiet. We're quiet. Anyway, all right. There's a lot of benefits to doing this. And plus, I was going through our most recent directory, and I was like, well, half the people I know aren't in here. I mean, and so it's it was just time for us to do it, but we're changing so quickly, and it seems like a new generation is born every year almost. I mean, it's just happening so fast. So this will be a way for us to update that continually without having to go through the process of printing up a new church directory. So really excited about that. There will be sheets at the back of the auditorium on a table, organized alphabetically. If you fall in, you know, the first A through, Monica, what's the first one? A through, oh, she does. She's not even listening. A through E. We'll say it's A through E or whatever. Anyway, it's organized something like that. So find yours, put your information. We're going to keep those sheets out for a few weeks to make sure we give everybody a chance. Whether it's too busy today, you can do it next week. And if you're not here a week, you'll have a chance to make that up. And then eventually we're going to be getting you to submit your own family photographs if you have one you want in there. You're like, oh, this is a great picture of me and my wife and my children. We'd prefer, you know, you not include, you know, extended family members. Here we are at, you know, Great Aunt Ida's 100th birthday, and there's, you know, all 90 of us. But just you and your family, you will submit a photograph. If you don't have one, we will be happy to take one, and that will take us just a moment. We can do it on our cell phones. We can do it with a digital camera. We can take that, and we'll upload it, and we'll have all of a sudden your information with your family photograph, and that will be ready to go in a matter of weeks for nothing. So anyway, it's a great thing, great thing. All right, so after pressing the new church directory, I wanted to talk a little bit about One Day of Hope. Ray did a great job talking about that. I was amazed when I saw all the people gathered together, Friday night and then again on Saturday morning. They estimate some 50 congregations across the county were represented in one form or another. Either they helped raise funds or donated goods or brought in clothes or had workers there. I mean, it was just amazing to see all of those different congregations represented, including many from Forest Mill. Here's where some of our senior workers, they worked really hard yesterday. I was really proud of our young men and young women, but also the adults. We were well represented in the worker population, and we were working side by side with friends and neighbors. We were doing everything from distributing clothes, shoes, children's books, medical care, medical supplies, or toiletry supplies, family portraits, haircuts, employment services, groceries. I mean, it was just everything. And like Ray was saying, there were some 3,000 people who came through the door, which that's, by the way, this is not the gate in. That's just the line to get clothes after they came in. They came in needing something or other. 3,000 people, or close to 3,000 people. That is absolutely amazing. And so I got there and I didn't know what to do. So I made hot dogs, and then I was told I was not a very good hot dog maker. I was not very good at rolling up the hot dogs in the wax paper. Apparently that takes dexterity, and I don't have that. But I was really good at tearing up buns. Boy, I could really tear up some buns. So I got to do that. I got to pass out some lunches, and that was great, just having conversations with people at the little lunch counter there. I got to be a greeter for a while at the front gate as everybody came streaming in. You try to find out what they need and direct them in the right way. But I can't tell you, I loved both of those. I loved those conversations. I loved meeting those people. But I can't tell you how valuable my time in the prayer tent was. And I'm not talking about how valuable I was to other people, but how valuable it was to me to have those conversations with people that, you know, you just met. And you know, here's the truth. I know more about those people I prayed with yesterday than most of your families, because we got to sit down and have a really important conversation, right? And so I found out that this person, even though they're not outwardly sick, that they're struggling with some pretty personal health problems. Or they're going through some real marital struggles. That their finances are really tight. And you may be comfortable sharing some of that in like a big church setting, but chances are you're not, right? So I got to have some really valuable conversations and then just pray with them. Really, really great. And that, by the way, all of that does not happen without a great deal of leadership and sacrifice. Without leadership and sacrifice, none of that happens. Without people working diligently, and I was overjoyed to look around and see this congregation living up to those ideals. I have had several jobs in my time. I have cleared land with an axe and a machete. I've yards. I worked at a Kmart for a while. I worked a Nautilus, which was a gym for a while. I know it was a long time ago. I've done a lot of different jobs. Some of those jobs and some of the jobs that I've had have been a real drudge. I'll be honest with you. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't look forward to going to work. Alarm went off and I was like, oh, I've got to go to work. But some of those jobs have been so life-affirming, but nothing, and I mean nothing, compares to the beauty and joy of serving others out of love. Nothing. That is just a blessing and a great opportunity. If you have done that, and had an opportunity to work at One Day or work through Upward, another great opportunity. Whether you're just working concession stand or coaching a team, it's just, you need to do that. And I don't say that like dictatorially telling you what you need to do, but because it'll be such a to you. So I really encourage you in that direct. Jesus describes himself this way. Jesus says the thief comes to only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Say that with me, okay? Ready? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That is an amazing statement, and I bet you've heard that, you know, a dozen, two dozen, 100 times in your lifetime. And I have too. But here's what that means. That means that life is not found in our bank accounts. That means that life is not found in our nationality or our skin color. That means that life is not found in our political leanings. That means that life is found in any of the things that divide us. And that is a shocking revelation. Life comes from the one thing that unites us. Life comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. There is nothing in any other realm of my life. Not my favorite football teams, which are the best football teams in the world. Not from my family, and they are the best family in the world. Life comes from Jesus Christ alone. But here's the great lie. And it's a really good one. The great lie, the great deception that our enemy weaves, he convinces us if we just have more money, we'll have more life. Or that if we just have a different spouse, we'll finally get life. Or if we just have the right political party or nation in power, then we'll have life. But it is always, always, always a lie. And I'm careful about using those alwayses, but that's the truth. That is always a lie. Our nation is the richest nation in the history of civilization. The richest nation in the history of civilization. We have more money than anyone else ever. Ever. Do we have more life because we have more money? Here's some questions, let you understand. Are our families stronger? Have we eliminated poverty and suffering? Is hunger of the past? Shouldn't we have the lowest crime rates and suicide rates? But we don't, do we? So we have more money and less life. So do you think maybe if you had more money in your account, you would have more life? Or what if we just had the right political party in power? Then we'd have more life. But opportunities to receive life from Jesus Christ cannot be governed by the state or legislated by the government. It absolutely, by the way, if opportunities to receive and give life could be controlled, then the first Christians would have been eliminated. But they flourished. The earliest Christians joyfully laid down in the most hostile of political environments despite persecution. They did that willingly and joyfully over and over again. And the nation, it was just horrific conditions to be a Christian in. Nor can it be found in the right nationality. You know what the number one nation sending missionaries is now? Anyone want to guess? What Christian nation is that? China. The number one Christian missionary sending nation is China. What political party is in power there? Anyone know? The communists. And they send missionaries than we do. That's sobering, isn't it? Over and over and over again throughout the history of the world, kingdoms of men have proven their untrustworthiness to give life. The kingdoms of men cannot give life, yet time and time again we think, well, if I just had this, I'd have more life. I just have that, I'd have more life. If I could just get this thing right in my family, my nation, my country, my civilization, and my culture, if I could get that right, then we'd have more life. But even if we go all the way back to the Old Testament, God ordained, not me and you or anybody else, God ordained and appointed certain leaders for his people. And what happened to those leaders that God appointed? Eventually, they were all corrupt. In Ezekiel 4, great chapter, by the way. If you've never read the book of Ezekiel, it's really hard to digest some of it, but Ezekiel chapter 34 is phenomenal. Ezekiel 34, God finally has enough. He's like, okay, these people that I've appointed, that I've anointed to be the leaders of my people, this is what the Lord says to Ezekiel. He says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And by the way, shepherds is probably referring to the elders, like the men who were leaders within cities, within communities. They were the ones who decided things that were they kind of took care of the communities and made judgments and made sure justice was carried out. So prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say this to them. This is what the Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter animals, but you do not take care of the flock. And by the way, all of those things come deep, right? It is taking, taking, taking from the sheep. You get the curds, you get the wool, you get the meat, but you don't take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strength or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly, brutally, so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd. No one was looking out for them. And when they were scattered, they became food for wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. The message of Ezekiel 34, by the way, screams out loud and clear. God trusted these men to look after his people, and their primary goal was to look after themselves. God entrusted them to look after his people. Their primary goal was to look after themselves. And God was having none of it. God was having none of it. And frankly, I could not have a better description for the leaders of companies and corporations and even government officials in our country. And I don't say that just as an indictment against those certain people. That's not to say that all of these leaders are corrupt or that all of these entities are corrupt, only that we have become a culture that is driven first and foremost by self-interest. So when you have a people who are driven first and foremost by self-interest and you put them in power, now you have powerful, self-interested. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that they're any worse or any better than me or you. I'm just saying you have a self-interested person now put in power. So I don't know if you saw this. The statistic about how CEO wages have grown. Have you seen that? Back in the 70s, it was about 30 to 1, the CEO salary versus the average employee salary. Now it's about 300 to 1, a little over 300 to 1. CEOs make 300 times what the average employee makes. Why? You know why? They're self-interested and they're in power, and they can make those decisions. So this is not to say that they're all corrupt, they're all bad. It just means they now have more power to reach their own ends. And they now get more ability to do what they want to do. So what is God's solution when this happens? By the way, and this was happening in Israel thousands of years ago. Self-interested people in power use the power to get their own ends. What is God's solution when this happens? Does God say, you know what we need to do? We need to make new laws or better laws. Let's go back, let's rewrite Leviticus and fix this thing. Or maybe we need to get rid of the old leaders and put some new leaders in power. That will fix it. If I can just pick some new people to put in charge of my people, that will fix it. Well, this is what God says. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As the shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. God himself promises to become the shepherd of his sheep. By the way, in the way that a flock up, you have the over-shepherd. You have the guy who owns the sheep, but rarely is the one who walks with the sheep. You've got the under-shepherd, people that he entrusts to take care of them, the hired hands. It could even be family members who are leading the sheep for him. He owns the flock, but he doesn't go out and keep them day by day. They know who he is, but he is not the day shepherd. And God says, the people I entrusted with this did such a bad job that even though I own the flock and I have, you know, in their culture, a lot of clout because he's wealthy, I myself am going to come to lead them. God himself promises to be the shepherd of his sheep. These sheep have been abused and neglected, shunned and rejected, confused and deflected, but God himself will straighten it out by becoming their shepherd. So when Jesus comes to this earth, later, centuries later, Jesus comes to live on this earth when God is made flesh and dwells among men. This is what it says in John 10, continue our series, by the way, through John, had to go by way of Ezekiel. When Jesus comes and lives on this earth, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he's talking directly about that Ezekiel 34 passage. I am the good shepherd. I am God come to shepherd the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for sheep. Skipping down a few verses here. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So here's the lesson in a nutshell. You can just see it right there. It's highlighted for you. Real leadership, real shepherds, real power looks like that. Laying down your life for the sheep. It is the exact opposite of self-interest. The exact opposite of self-interest. This is what a good shepherd looks like. It is making others better. It is giving up your life for them, lifting them up, elevating them and not yourself. It is not self-promotion, it is other promotion. That is what it looks like. That's what real leadership looks like. And again, in our country, culture, in our civilization, it's the exact opposite. Real leaders are those who have more power, more money, more influence, and they elevate self. Right? So, probably goes without saying how disturbing and unsettling the political in our country has been. And I'm not fixing to preach at you about your candidate, unless you're voting for one of these. Anyway, just kidding. Even though the two leading candidates, and these are just the two leading ones, there are other equally horrible candidates. They have both contributed significantly their fair share of ugliness and animosity. Neither of them have proven trustworthy. It hasn't been what bothers me. Because frankly, and this is sad to say, but I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm just going to let you in. If you're older than me, this is a little insight. If you're younger than me, you knew it before I did. A little bit of insight. I expect that of all public and political figures. I have zero trust for people in power. That's just nature. If you tell me the conservative Christian leader in the House, the one who was voted in on family values, if you tell me that he was found out smoking meth and having a gay affair, I'm like, yeah, of course. That's just my expectations. And that happened to me time and time again. I'm a cynic. It's not a healthy thing to be, but I'm a cynic. So frankly, when I find out bad things about either one of these people, I'm just not shocked. I really don't even care, because I knew that going in, right? So that's not what disturbs me. No, what disturbs me has little to do with the candidates themselves and everything to do with the marked divisions that politics has wrought between Christian brothers and sisters. And this is all coming to our shepherd, by the way. We're getting back there, I promise. But as I looked across the fairgrounds yesterday, as I worked alongside Christians whose names I did not even know, as I sat there and I held the hands of families to pray in the midst of a chorus of other Christians who were praying loudly and softly, passionately and tenderly in English and in Spanish, and maybe in some other languages I didn't even know, I couldn't help but be struck by the difference between the kingdoms of men and the kingdom of God. Because the kingdoms of men divide us, they mark us. We're black or we're white, we're rich or we're poor, we're native or we're immigrant, we're young or we're old, we're Republican or we're Democrat, we're conservative or we're liberal, we're American or Mexican or South African or Syrian, we're something. The kingdoms of men divide us into us versus them. But praise God in heaven and on Jesus Christ, who by the power of the Holy Spirit unite all of those groups and more, so that they are one. Amen. They are one. We have one label, and that one label is not American, it's not rich, it's not white, it's not Church of Christ. That one label is the family of God. Praise God that there is one body and one Spirit, just as they are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Praise God that the one who unites us has overcome him who divides us. And if there is any portion of your life that seems to be dividing you from your Christian brothers and sisters, it's time to lay that idol down. Because if it is dividing you from your brother and sister in Christ, who was bound by the love of Christ, who was sacrificed for by the death of Christ, whose life was bought and paid for with the blood of Christ, if something's dividing you from them, that something has become an idol that is dangerous, that is deadly, and poses a grave threat to the church. And I'll just confess, I get myself in a dander thinking about politics. I do. I get mad, I get upset. And I see ugly things people write and write ugly things to tell them they're wrong. I do. My wife's over there like, she's in a little quiet Church of Christ, amen. she's like, yeah, he does that. Thank God he's confessed that. So I do. And I finally, this week, I just had to step back and say, who is God? And God is going to give me grace enough for today. And I believe that. I worry, am I going to have grace enough for tomorrow? I'm like that sheep that God is leading, and I'm wondering, can I find green grass tomorrow? And I worry on November, was it 28th? Just kidding. November the 8th. I worry that on November 8th, whoever's elected, is there going to be grace enough for that day? And when that person is sworn in, is there going to be grace enough for that day? And it has threatened my very faith. And I had to lay that idol down and say, God is going to reign from this day forward the same way that he has reigned this day back. Praise God that he is in control and that he is our good shepherd. He is our security. He is our shelter. He is our providence. And that does not come from my power, my own hand. And if this morning, if you need to confess, if you just need to lay that down, we want to help you with that. We want to lift you up because you are first and foremost a child of God, our brother and sister. And anything you think might divide you from us is of inconsequence after that. So if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Sweet are the promises.